God graciously laid a message last night. It's a brief one, but laid a message on my heart that is geared, yes, for everybody, but particularly I want to speak to young people. Trish mentioned Children's Day 2 weeks ago. Technically, that is Children's Day. I don't know how many of you knew that. When I was a kid in the Lutheran Church, we used to celebrate Children's Day. I don't know a whole lot of people that celebrate Children's Day much anymore. But today, we're going to celebrate Children's Day with a twist. How many of you have ever heard the statement, our young people are the church of the future? In a way, that's accurate. Because if Jesus tarries, all of us older folk are going to die and be with Jesus. But in another sense, it is absolutely incorrect and inaccurate. Because the children, the young people, are not just the church of the future, they are also part of the church of today. And sometimes we forget that. And so today I want to share with you four things, with some scripture to support it, to talk about the church, not just of the future, but the church of the day. And there's two prongs to it. So part of the message goes to the young people, and part of the message goes to the adults. So the first point I want to make is this. You don't have to be an adult to learn the Word of God. You may not get all the nuances, you may not get all the deep theological, but let me tell you this, you don't have to be an adult to get the Word of God, to learn the Word of God. Take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Now we're familiar with that because Jesus quoted from that in the New Testament. But keep reading and it says this, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Speaking to adults, but then look at verse 7. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now, many of my Jewish friends have taken this literally. They have the mezuzah on the door with the scripture in it. The Pharisees had the phylacteries, those boxes that came off their head because they took it literally. Unfortunately, they never got it in the heart. But the point I bring up with this scriptures are these, is this, is that he said, impress them on your children. The implication is that kids can get it. They can learn the Word of God. I'm thankful for what our kids program is doing. I'm thankful for the years that they have invested in our kids. I'm thankful for the junior Bible quiz program that has been started to teach kids the Word of God, to learn the stories, to learn the principles, to learn the precepts. Young people, you don't have to wait to be an adult before you start reading the Bible. I was about 13 or 14 when I read the whole Bible through for the first time. 13 or 14. I was 15 and 16 when I began memorizing verses. By the time I was 18, I had learned thousands of scripture verses. You don't have to be an adult to learn the Word of God. You can begin hiding the Word of God in your heart as a young person. Look what David did for his son Solomon in Proverbs chapter 4. Solomon is speaking, when I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and an only child of my mother, he taught me. And he said, lay hold of my words with all your heart, keep my commands and you will live, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Apparently in Solomon's life, when he was just a kid, just a little boy, David kept impressing upon him how important it was to get wisdom. Are we surprised then when God says to Solomon, as a young person, maybe late teens, early 20s, ask me for anything you want and I'll give it to you. That Solomon says, give me wisdom. Why? Because he had learned how important wisdom was from his dad. So when it came time to ask, he had been invested with this truth. And Solomon said, anything? No, riches don't count it. This doesn't count. No, I need wisdom. Timothy was another one over in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Actually, chapter 3. But as for you, verse 14, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. His mother, Eunice, his grandmother, Lois, would have, even though dad wasn't a Christian, dad was a Greek, seemed to have had no concern at all, they made sure, mama and grandma made sure that little Timothy got the scripture. And as a Jew, the first thing he would have learned was the Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And they would have taught so that as Timothy was being immersed in scripture, when Paul came by and began to preach, Timothy would say as a kid, count me in. Most people that come to faith in Christ do so before the age of 18. It's not that you can't get saved after, but most kids get saved before 18. We have an opportunity to invest in our young people. Kids, don't wait to become an adult to learn the Word of God. Secondly, you don't have to be an adult to praise the Lord. Well, you know, when I get done with kids' church, then I go upstairs and then maybe I'll sing, but maybe I'll just read a book. Maybe I'll just read puzzles. Let me tell you something. You don't have to be an adult to be able to worship the Lord. How do I know? Because Matthew 21. The blind and the lame came to him, that is, came to Jesus at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple area, who was shouting in the temple area? Children were shouting in the temple area, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise? It's a quote from Psalm 8. One thing about children is they are very trusting and very real. They haven't learned really to be cynical yet. They haven't always learned how to filter. Mom, why is that man so fat? Oh, Lord. Mom, what's that stuff in that woman's skin? It's gross. Oh, you want to crawl under your grocery cart. They call it like they see it. These kids caught it. He's the king. Hosanna to the king. We got it. And all the religious leaders, all the adults, shut them up because they couldn't see what the kids could see. The kids knew who he was. The adults missed it. It was the kids who got it and worshiped and praised. There's something about a kid getting up here and going, Father Abraham had many sons. Now, Carla would do that, but besides Carla, you know what I'm saying? Somehow when we get older as adults, we want to be restrained. Real spiritual. You know, we'll dance before the Lord. That's it. A kid, you should see a kid at VBS. They are dancing and shouting and praising because they don't care what you think. They're just loving on Jesus. Maybe it's the adults that need to be learning from the kids how to worship than the other way around. Just a thought. So, you don't have to be an adult to learn the Word of God. You don't have to be an adult to praise the Lord. Neither do you have to be an adult to hear the voice of God. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Some of you know the backstory to Samuel. Samuel was born to Hannah. Hannah was barren, unable to conceive, and she poured out her heart to God at the temple area, the tabernacle, and God answered her prayer and gave her a son. His name is Samuel, Samuel Shemuel in Hebrew, which means heard of God. That basically what she was saying is, this is the boy, God heard me pray, and I got my boy. This young boy was dedicated to the Lord at a very young age. And we pick up the story here in chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord. Notice, he's not an adult. He's a boy. Ministered before the Lord under Eli. Eli was the high priest. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. People weren't hearing from God. They were going through the motions, but they weren't hearing from God. They were having church, but they weren't hearing from God, so to speak. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple, literally the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was. He's hanging in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. Now, remember that Holy of Holy place that was like so special that you could get in trouble? Samuel's hanging with God's place where God's presence was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Eli said, "I didn't call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lied down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized. Finally, it dawns on the adult, God speaking. But he's not speaking to Eli. Eli's the high priest. La, 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 la. He's not hearing him. But Samuel is. Finally, Eli says, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, speak, Lord. Say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And if you keep reading through chapter 3, you'll see God spoke a word of judgment against Eli. But then it finishes with saying, and all the people began to realize that Samuel was going to be called to be a prophet. He was a boy when he first heard the voice of the Lord. Wasn't an adult. He was a boy when he first heard the word of the Lord. You know, sometimes we get the impression, I do know that we need to mature and we need to grow. I got that. And I'm not discounting that. But let's not miss the fact that we might hear the voice of the Lord coming through our kid. That God might have a word for you that Eli, you missed, but he's going to get your attention through your kid. Just a thought. One more. You don't need to be an adult to walk in the anointing. You don't need to be an adult to walk in the anointing. Over in Joel chapter 2, the prophecy says this in verse 28, "Afterward, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams." The anointing of the Spirit is not age specific. It's not age exclusive. Once you graduate from college, you got your bachelor's degree in biblical studies, you've gone on for your master of divinity degree and working towards a doctoral ministry degree, then and only then will the anointing of the Spirit rest on you. "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days." And that prophetic word was picked up by Peter in Acts chapter 2, at Pentecost, when the Spirit of God was poured out, and they thought the guys were drunk. Peter said, "They're not drunk as you suppose, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." You don't have to be an adult, kids, to have an encounter with God and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. I was 9 years of age when God saved me. I was raised in a Lutheran church. I learned all the Bible stories. I had a godly example in the pastor that we had, Franklin Blank. He was an amazing guy, one of the most humble men I've ever met. When God saved me at 9 years of age, he talked to my mom and said, I sense that God's calling him, that God's hand is on him. I was 9 years old. When I was 15 years of age, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Began to speak in tongues. God began to get a hold of my life. When I was 17, I got called into ministry. I was a teenager when God called me. Preached my first sermon when I was 17 years of age to our youth group. Got the reputation of being the reverend in high school. At 18, got to share at my baccalaureate and preach the gospel to all of my classmates. I was just a teenager. When my son David was 2 years of age, I was suffering from a migraine, and I said, David, could you lay your hands on your dad and pray for him? And his little two-year-old, dear Jesus, please heal my dad. Instantly, the fever, the headache went away, and I was fine. Pain was gone. I used to take him with me on hospital calls because it was great. Childlike faith. You simply ask God, and you expect him to do it. You don't have to be an adult. When we were teenagers, we were street preaching. When we were teenagers, we were wearing shirts to school that said Jesus number one on it. We were radically in love with Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit hit our youth group, it was not the adult. There were not adults at the altar. There were teens. There were kids. There were children, just 9, 10, 11-year-olds and 14, 15, 16-year-olds. We would flood the altar. We would stay there. I remember that one Sunday night that at 7:40, service started at 7, at 7:40, the pastor said, I can't preach tonight. I got to open the altars. And all of us young people ran to the altar. At 10 after 11, our parents dragged us home from church. What a difference than we see where you have to drag your kid to church. They had to drag us from church. We couldn't wait to get to the altar. And we were just kids. Carla and Al could testify to the same thing that happened. There was a sovereign move of God's Spirit. What I'm trying to tell you, kids, is you don't have to become old and wrinkly before you decide to get right with God. You don't have to wait to get old and wrinkly to run to the altar and have an encounter with God. You can have an encounter with God now. You can have an encounter of God with your kid, with the Lord God now. You don't have to be an adult to hear the word of the Lord. You don't have to learn the word of the Lord. You don't have to be an adult to praise the Lord. You don't have to be an adult to hear God's voice, and you certainly don't have to be an adult to walk in the anointing. Because the scripture shows how people walked in the anointing. I picked up in Acts chapter 2, goes at the end after they've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and then Peter preaches, 3,000 come to Christ, and it says in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children. We do not have to have our children take a scenic route, go through a lot of junk, and maybe, just maybe, hopefully, come back around to know Christ. Our kids can know him from their childhood up. They can live for Christ from their childhood up. They can be world changers from their childhood up. Kids, hear me. Young people, hear me. Press in to know God now. You can know him now. What about us adults, Pastor? What about us parents? What about us grandparents? What about us non-parental units that come to the church? We have an opportunity to invest in the young people. Well, one person thinks that's a good idea. What about this side? On this side? Here's the deal. I think back to the people that made an impact on my life. I had some that were paid professional pastors. Sid Griffith, former district youth leader for New York State. Ken Weaver, youth pastor. But there were a lot of people that were just volunteer. People like Richard and Bev Bennett, Dick and Bev Bennett. who were there, who loved us, who cried with us, who prayed with us. People that just lived the truth. See, as adults, we can be stumbling blocks or stepping stones for our young people. We can be stumbling blocks by saying one thing and doing another. So they see us here, and then they see us out there cursing somebody out, and they go, yeah. We can set the stage for our young people to have a natural progression to Christ because they see such a vibrancy in us. They see us so passionate. See, if they come in and watch you parent, just, what are they going to get? Church is a duty that we got to get through so we can have our time. But if they see you engaged, genuinely living out, see, we don't want you to be like this sister that my wife and I know. We won't mention her last name. You don't know her. She's not from the area, but I still don't want to reveal her name. But anyhow, she's playing the piano. It's a Sunday night worship service. Her little kid is sitting next to her dressed in flannel. It's summertime. Why do you dress your kid in flannel? The kid's kind of swaying because it's not the Lord. It's heat, exhaustion. And she's playing. She looks over, whacks him, and comes back in place and never misses a beat on the piano. What do you think the kid's going to learn? There's a discrepancy. Parents, you don't have to be perfect, but we do have to be consistently adequate through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. They learn life by watching us. If we're real and authentic, if we can say, yeah, hey, I blew that, please forgive me. If they can see you press in, one of the greatest memories I have is of my dad, after he got saved, getting up at 4:30 or 5 every morning and spending a couple of hours in prayer and the Word of God every day. You don't think that makes a difference? They learn, they watch, they follow you. So to us who are adults, it's important that we live out what we say we believe with a freshness and a vibrancy. Do they see us hungering after the Word of God? When they see you watching me preach, are they watching you bored out of your skull? Hopefully I'm preaching a message not that boring, but I'm hoping that what they're catching you is you're engaged, you're listening, you're hungry, and they're listening. And if you're a parent, look for those teachable moments with your kids. Yes, we provide Sunday school or kids' church, and yes, we have junior Bible quiz, but we get your kids for maybe an hour a week. The school system gets them for 7 hours a day, 35 hours a week. You get them other hours. If you're not investing in them and checking out what they're learning and putting time in, they're going to learn something, but it may not be what you want them to learn. So we want to encourage you. It says, impress on them. As parents, look for teachable moments. Yes, there's formal training, but look for those teachable moments because God will give them to you regularly. Those moments when all of a sudden you know you have stepped into the God zone and it's one of those aha moments and the emotion clicks on it and they got it locked in. They got it locked in. Hey, parents, it isn't just you. Teachers, you can do this. Adults, we can do this. Those teachable moments where we help them make the connection between the Word of God that was written and the Word of God alive in their hearts today. We want them to have that living faith. We want our kids to know what it is to walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I did take David along with me. I enjoyed having him with me do some of these hospital visits. When I was growing up, my mom took me to nursing homes because she did nursing home ministry. She gave us opportunities to do ministry with her, to apprentice with her. So let's make Children's Day not just once a year, but let's invest in our kids for the year long, and let's see not just the church of the future, but the church of the day, our young people on fire crying out to God. Does that sound like a plan? Amen.